Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell welcoming you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. As I continue to meditate upon the feast days that occurred during August, I want to concentrate today on the feast day that we will be celebrating in a couple of days, and that is the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This feast day, a day of obligation, always had a very important role to play in our lives when I was a child and later as I was growing and maturing. For the feast day appeared to us to be the beginning of the end of summer. Vacations are pretty well over. It may still be a little warm, but in fact, we knew that we were now looking forward to the preparation of a new school year. In fact, I was so involved in school life for a good portion of my existence, I still refer to September as the beginning of the new year, because it was the beginning of the school calendar. But we were looking forward. It was a time of preparation. It was also a time of rejoicing in the fruitfulness of summer and the beginning of the ingathering of the products of summer. Many of you remember the wonderful delights of fresh tomato right off the vine. I remember my mother spending many hours in the kitchen putting up, as she said, aspects of fruit and vegetables that we would eat throughout the winter months. And it was also a time, in a sense, of thanksgiving for this wonderful bounty. The Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary also touched upon not only the fullness of the growing season, but the fullness of life and meaning of Mary, the mother of our Savior. And by extension, the fullness of the life and meaning of every Christian faithful. And to prepare to celebrate this feast, there was long a tradition, back many years, of making what we used to call our summer confession. That is, preparing for the beginning of new things in thanksgiving for the fullness of what has passed. We participated in the sacrament of penance and prepared then to celebrate the Feast of the Assumption of Mary as a celebration both of the fullness of the earth and of the fullness of our Christian life. Now, the unique privileges of Mary do not necessarily separate her from other Christians. They are unique. There will never be another time of incarnation. There will never be another time of that gift of grace to Mary that we know as her Immaculate Conception. But in fact, all of the privileges granted to Mary do touch upon every Christian life. I think, first of all, we think of Mary as the perfect disciple. And in Mary, all of Christ's promises have been fulfilled. There was the promise of new life, a deliverance from sin and death, a promise that was fulfilled in Mary at the very first moment of her conception, when by a special grace, she was kept free from all sin, original sin, and then later all personal sin. And in a sense, this touches on our baptism, because at our baptism, we too were freed from original sin. We too were given grace and power to avoid sin and to become part of the victory of Jesus Christ. I think also of her assumption. Body and soul into heaven. And of course, this is our goal, isn't it? After the end of our natural life here on earth, aren't we hoping that we too will be drawn into the presence of God, that we will be reunited with our bodies and live with God in Christ through all eternity. But it is in the fact that Mary was present at all of the foundational moments of Christ's salvation ministry. All but one, I should say. And this perfect association of Mary with Jesus becomes then the model for all discipleship, that we are not only to follow our Lord's words, but to walk with him on his own path, to be present to him, and to know him present among us in his risen form through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of his word, and through the reception of the sacraments. And in this, in her assumption and glorification, we find not only our future, but also then the completion and the purification of the course of our years here on earth. And we too can experience the fulfillment of all of the promises of Christ if we follow the examples of Mary and continue to seek her help. She is with us. She's with us on our path. She is with our Son, Jesus Christ, always pointing toward him. In her, we find that in our humanity that we shared with Mary, we too can be transformed. We too can be touched by that grace of God. We too can be exemplars of love and fidelity in the place where we live. But there's another aspect to the role of Mary, and to the power of the Assumption. We say that Mary was assumed into heaven, body and soul. And in fact, the veneration of Mary, which is so typical of Catholic life, is based also on the fact that Mary is the guarantor of the humanity of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is true God and true man, and being true God and true man has come to transform our humanity according to the pattern of his, he has to, as the early Greek fathers said, be truly human, for he cannot transform what he has not assumed. And in Mary, we find that it was from her that Jesus got his true humanity, which is, in fact, our humanity as well. And in meditating upon Mary's role in the life of the church, and finding that it was her humanity that was the prelude to the transformation of our humanity, we find in her example the sustenance of our own hope for everlasting life, and the hope that our humanity will also be transformed, and we will be so filled with the presence of the divine that we will join Mary in praying that her own prayer, that in which she says that her soul magnifies the Lord, and allow our lives to become a magnification of God's glory, where we are and what time we live.